I have to admit, these messages from Job or teaching from Job have been more popular than any other message that's from the church since the beginning of the year. Must be a lot of people going through some tribulation like Job.
Yeah, that's right.
And this ain't our home. And the Bible says, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing. It's just in the normal. That's what Peter said there, I believe, in 2 Peter. Let me see. Thank you so much. I'm going to get one of them that came in. Thank you.
Yeah, that's okay.
Let's see here. Maybe 1 Peter. he says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." And not only is there a devil down here, but there's trouble down here. Amen. But hallelujah, where we're going.
That's right.
There'll be no more devil, and there'll be no more trouble, but we ain't there yet, but we're same as there.
We're headed there, ain't we,
brother? Mm-hmm. Amen. Welcome everybody to the service tonight here at Landmark Baptist Church this August 10th, 2022, Lord's year. We're thankful to be saved just looking at the things that's going on.
Yes, Lord.
All of the nonsense that's going on and all the corruption that's going on and all the threats of war that's going on. It's good to know you got a home in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
We've got a list here of people we want to go to Lord in prayer for before we do our lesson tonight.
Yeah.
And if you want to, you can pray with us. Lord, we humbly come before you tonight, Lord, in just humble prayer, thanking you, Lord, for your great mercies. Lord, for your compassions that fail not. Lord, for your great love that you have for us. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we pray right now that you'd forgive us of our sins, wash and cleanse us, Lord, from our sins, we might be acceptable in thy sight. The psalm just said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, he said, the Lord will not hear me. And Lord, we want to be heard. We come to you, Lord, on behalf of a little girl. Her name is Sarah. And they had an accident in a swimming pool. And her best friend somehow accidentally dived and landed on top of her from the diving board. Thank you, Brother Ed. This accident, not only did it hurt the girl, done some injury to her spine, and she may be paralyzed, but I'm sure also that it hurt her friend with the grief and the knowledge of knowing that she had injured her best friend. Mm-hmm. We pray for both of these young girls, Lord. We know, Lord, you can help. Your word says you're a very present help in trouble. And Lord, we know you can heal them. Lord, you're the Lord God that healeth us. You're the great physician. And I put Sarah and her friend, Lord, in your tender care. Ask you, Lord, to somehow, Lord, work all this out, Lord. We hope she'll be able to walk, be able to do the things that young girls, Lord, and young boys be able to do, just be able to enjoy their youth. I pray, dear Father, tonight for Ronnie, Lindsay, and his wife, Faye, for their health. Pray you be with them. I pray also for Sarah and Patrick, Lord, and their children. Lord, they're going through a trial with this COVID. And we just pray, Lord, you'd help them in this matter, help them recover from it, help them, Lord, to get well. Lord, Sister Vonnie called us this afternoon. Lord, she said she was down in her back. And we pray for Sister Vonnie. Pray you'll help her, Lord, that pain. Help her, Lord, to get better with her back. She said she was on a heat pad. I prayed for her mother. Lord, they found out her mother's got bronchitis. And Lord, we pray you'll be with her mother. Lord, get her, well. We pray for her son, Billy. Lord, he had some tests today. And we pray you'll get a good report on those tests. Lord, we just pray about that. She mentioned about Mark and Kay. And Mark's still down in his back. We pray for him. And she said Kay is going to put her in therapy and try to help her. And we pray for Kay. Pray for Mark. Pray you'll help them both, Lord, to get better. I pray for Sister Joanne Smith, Lord, tonight. Sister Joanne struggling, Lord, to get her breath.
Yeah.
And Lord, we just pray for her, Lord. Pray, God, you'll help her. Lord, we pray for her. I pray, dear Father, Lord, for Carol, Larry, Serenity, and Leroy. Carol, Lord, got injured in an accident at work. And Lord, we just pray for her that she'll be able to recover from that accident. And I pray for Jimmy and Carol. Lord, Carol, she's having some health issues. We pray for her. Lord, I pray for our country. Lord, it's sad to see the corruption that seems to be widespread in our country. Corruption so bad, Lord, I know of two churches that had the Catholic converters cut off of the church vans right there in the parking lot. Brand new vans, Lord. They just went in there and stole the Catholic converters out. Lord, it's sad when people don't have no regard for the house of God or the things of God.
Right.
And Lord, we just pray for those people. They'd repent. Get right with God. I pray for them, Lord. I pray for our leaders. Seem like, Lord, they've lost sight of integrity. And Lord, they're consumed with power and greed. And Lord, we're totally against this, what took place at President Trump's house. Lord, nothing right about that.
No.
And the way they done it wasn't right. They could have done it in a better way. They could have subpoenaed instead of breaking into a man's house, Lord, for no reason. And we pray, Lord, that all this will work out for the good. Shame on them for doing this, Lord. They went through back doors to do this. And Lord, took a man's phone. Lord, we just feel like, Lord, there's a right way to do things and a wrong way to do things. And I believe, Lord, that this country has lost sight of God.
Yes.
Lost sight of integrity. We know righteousness exalteth a nation.
Yes.
But sin is a reproach to any people in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34. And Lord, this country needs to get back in touch with God.
Amen.
Help us in these upcoming elections. Help us, Lord, I pray, with our children. Lord, they're being bombarded with lies from hell. And Lord, they're being brainwashed instead of educated, being indoctrinated, Lord, instead of taught the things that they need in life. Lord, bless this service, Lord, tonight. May we glean, Lord, tonight from your vineyard. Lord, bless your words tonight. Open them up to us, Father. May we be able, Lord, to learn the great truths, find the great treasures that's in your word, be able, Lord, to apply them to our life and to the day and hour we're living in. Lord, we just thank you for all these things and many, many more. We've got a lot of unspoken requests.
Yeah.
Lord, I pray for my wife, pray for my friend. I pray, Lord, Father, for lost people to get saved. I pray for saved people to live like they're saved. Lord, even Enoch left behind a testimony that he pleased God. Help us, Lord, I pray, to put the priority on the things of God and not to chase after the things of the world. In Jesus' name, we'll praise you and thank you and ask your blessed will be done in all these things, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we finished up Job chapter 4, and Job chapter 5 is a continuation of Eliphaz kind of rebuking Job. Let me go back a little bit here. Job chapter 1, He got drugged into something, but God knew he was up to the task.
And
I'm glad that even if we do have to go through sore trials, that we don't have to go through them alone.
Right.
The Lord said, I'll not leave you nor forsake you. But he lost all of his wealth, all of his health, his wife even kind of rebuked him. His three friends have showed up. And Job, not only having a bad day, and all of us do have them, but he's kind of wishing he'd never been born. And then here comes Eliphaz, and he just unloads on Job in Job chapter 4. And we're continuing in what he said to Job. Job chapter 5 verse 1. This is kind of an insult. Eliphaz tells Job, call now if there be any that will answer thee.
Yeah.
And to which of the saints will thou turn? He's saying to Job, you know, you brought this on yourself. We know that sin does get us in trouble, but Job has not sinned. Not only did he not sin with his lips, but he didn't sin with anything that he did. But you can count on accusations no matter how you live. We are supposed to live righteous, godly, and soberly
right.
in this present world. And we are supposed to shine like lights amidst this crooked and perverse generation that we're in. But Eliphaz, he's still being unkind, unhelpful to Job. He says, for wrath killeth the foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly one. Now that might be a true statement, but it don't apply to Job.
No.
In verse 3 he says, I have seen the foolish taking root, but suddenly I cursed his habitation. And you know, he's basically talking about Proverbs chapter 29. It talks about, you know, judgment. And it says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. When God brings judgment upon people, I mean, they're here and gone. And Eliphaz, he's kind of making accusations here when he says, I've seen the foolish, calling Job foolish,
yeah.
taking root, but suddenly I cursed his habitation. And he's not encouraging Job at all.
No.
And it says his children are far from safety, and they are crushed in the gate, neither is there any to deliver them. And, you know, Job has just buried 10 children, and here Eliphaz brings up children. That's kind of like a sore there. You know, he's not really having much mercy on Job here. My pastor always told me this. He said, if you're unkind, you're the wrong kind.
Amen.
My mother used to tell me that if you don't have something good to say about somebody, then just keep your mouth shut. And
yeah.
both of them was mighty right. Verse 5, Eliphaz says, whose harvest the hungry eateth up and taketh it, even out of the thorns, and the robber swalloweth up their substance. In other words, he says they just can't get ahead.
That's right.
And no matter what they do, it just doesn't work for them. And Eliphaz goes on to say, although affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither doeth trouble spring out of the ground, yet man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. And that is a true statement. Job 14:1, it says, man's born of woman is a few days and they're full of trouble.
Yeah.
And trouble is just because we're not in heaven. Trouble is because we're down here where sin not only lies at the door, but someone has opened the door and allowed sin to come in.
Yeah,
and
right.
we dwell amidst wicked and sinful people. Eliphaz goes on to say, I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. And again, he's belittling Job. He's telling Job, as you, I'd be praying. Verse 9, he says, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. And that is true. Mm-hmm. Who giveth rain upon the earth. It's raining outside right now. Thank the Lord for it.
Yeah.
I'm glad, praise God, for those mercy drops.
Amen.
And sendeth waters upon the fields. You know, the crop don't grow too good without water. Mm-hmm. To set up on high those that be low, and those which mourn may be exalted to safety. Peter talked about humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He might exalt us in due time. And this is a pretty fair statement here that Eliphaz says, that God lifts up those that be low, and those which mourn may be exalted to safety. He said He disappointeth the devices of the crafty. And you know, I don't really want to get political right here, but I'm watching things being done right now that shouldn't be done.
Amen.
And if they be found out, it's going to come at a terrible price. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I'd like to throw in real quick, and like I said, I'm not trying to be political, but Nancy Pelosi actually didn't have no business whatsoever going to Taiwan.
Nope.
She's not part of the executive branch.
Nope.
And she went over there on my dime, and it was more of a publicity stunt than it was anything. But worse than that was she took her son with her,
yeah.
Almost like Hunter Biden. And like I said, I'm trying not to be political here. But the reason she took her son over there was for money.
Right.
He's trying to capitalize on the wealth of Taiwan, like
right.
Hunter's capitalized
right.
on the wealth of China, and here we are, for lack of better words, we're losing our country due to corrupt politicians like
Amen.
This. But
right.
it says He disappointeth the devices of the craft, and I do hope God overthrows this wickedness that's running rampant in our country right now. Just like America, its future right now is pretty dark, and I hope to God that we're able to recover from this. You know, we've got more government than we need, and they're getting ready to put more government into play. I forgot how many new IRS agents are going to be added to the force thanks to this new $700 billion fantasy bill they just passed. But He disappointed the devices of the craft. I'm glad God's in charge. I'm glad that He can put a stop. He can put a hook in the nose of this political monster, so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise. It scares you
yeah.
to know what's going on in
that's
our country right now.
Yeah,
I don't believe we'd be able to sleep if we knew the kind of things that's truly going on in this country right now.
Mm.
Verse 13, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. You remember Haman?
Mm-hmm.
He got hung on his own gallows that he built for Mordecai in the book of Esther.
Yeah.
He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Haman was building this gallows to hang Mordecai on and end up getting hung on it himself. And the counsel of the forward is carried headlong. They think that they can, without God, do their job or lead this country. And you know what? Jesus told plainly in John 15, without Him we can do nothing. But they think, you know, that they can, they're somehow smarter, somehow, we're just the little people, but somehow, you know, they've got the say in everything. But last time I checked, it's supposed to be we the people, not
yeah.
big government
right.
that makes a decision in these countries. What are you saying by that, Brother Ed? I'm talking about they removed some statues that I didn't have a say in, and my say would have been, leave them alone. They're part of America. And, they've sold some land in this country, and my say in that would have been, it's not for sale. I've got an interest in this country. I've lived here all my life, paid taxes all my life,
right.
and I've worked here all my life, and I think we ought to have a say in some matters. But they by craftiness, are corrupt in this country, and it's stinking all the way to heaven right now. Verse 14, they meet with darkness in the daytime, and grope in the new day as the night, but he saveth the poor from the sword, from their mouth, and from the hand of the mighty. So the poor have hope, and yes, amen. Thank God we do have hope. And our hope, the Bible says, like an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast, our hope maketh not ashamed. He says, so the poor have hope, and iniquity stoppeth her mouth. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. Now some of these things that Eliphaz is saying is true. And whom the Lord loves, he does chasten. And when he does chasten us, you know, we're better off because of it. Verse 18, for he maketh sore and bindeth up, he woundeth and his hands make whole. One thing about the Lord, you know, he might chasten you, but he's going to come back by with his hands and heal you.
Amen.
And you know, in his hands is love and kindness.
That's right.
And somebody said, don't run from him, run to him, amen.
That's it.
Verse 19, he shall deliver thee in six troubles, yea, in seven there shall no evil touch thee. I'm glad I've got someone between me and evil.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also glad for the deliverance of God. I don't know how many times I was driving yesterday in the rain and the car hydroplaned, and I'm sitting there thinking how wonderful it was to have the blessing of God. I mean, I just kicked the cruise control off, the car straightened up.
Yeah.
But I was just sitting there thinking, you know, I'm glad, you know, that God makes a difference.
That's right.
And he delivereth thee in six troubles. I was in trouble. And in seven, there shall no evil touch thee. The Bible said, if God be for us, who can be against us?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 20, in famine he shall redeem thee from death, and in war from the power of the sword. David said, I have been young and now I'm old, and I have yet to see the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread, and in famine he shall redeem thee from death. You know, God will sustain you. He took care of Elijah, fed him with the ravens, and then he fed him with the widow at Nain. And, you know, God will take care of us, and in war, from the power of the sword. I think the only reason America is still standing today is because we still got on our money in God We Trust. Even though it may not be true, at least it's there, and God is honored in that being on our currency.
Yeah.
But I want you to know, I believe when those twin tires fail, I believe that was the writing on the wall of this country, and it better get in line, amen.
Yeah, amen.
I mean, Psalm chapter 9, verse 17 says, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. And I want you to know, God's not mocked, and I would to God this nation would get in line. By verse 21, thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue, neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it cometh. You know, God, he gives us so much peace. The psalmist said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he said, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And we don't have anything to fear. And you know what? God is our good shepherd.
Amen.
He takes care of us, his sheep.
Yes.
Verse 22, at destruction and famine thou shalt laugh, neither shalt thou be afraid of the beast of the earth. Now, there's been a few times, I'll have to admit, I have been startled. Went out to the mailbox one night to get the mail, and there was something on the other side of the fence growled at me, and it did get the best of me. I'm good to go, don't get me wrong, but that growling, pretty close, pretty intense, loud, did cause me to be a little bit concerned about how close to danger I was. But I always think about it like this. The reason it didn't get no further than that, I believe the Lord lifted up a standard against whatever that was growling. Could have been a coyote, could have been a dog, I don't know, whatever it was. It sounded bad. And at nighttime, you can't tell
right. Which
direction even run in, if you did run. But it says, at destruction and famine, thou shalt laugh. You know, that's not a laughing matter. But I'll tell you why you could laugh to know, praise God, worst thing happened to you being up in heaven, amen.
That's it.
And I'll tell you right now, that's a blessing in itself.
Amen.
I mean, the worst thing that could happen to me would be to end up in heaven.
Yeah.
And that's not really nothing to threaten nobody with. I was up on the square up there preaching one day on a Saturday morning, and I'm just randomly preaching, and a car pulled in down below me. A bunch of young people was in the car, teenagers, and I'm just preaching. I mean, I'm just quoting Bible and preaching. And one of them boys, wanting to show off a little bit, I guess, he said, "I'm coming back with my shotgun." I said, "Don't threaten me with heaven, buddy. I'll wait on you." And I'll tell you right now, buddy, he knew I meant business.
Yeah.
He done a double step going across there to the pawn shop on the other side of the road over there. But we don't have nothing to fear. We're in good hands. Amen.
Amen. That's exactly.
Verse 22. No, we just read that. Verse 23. "For thou shalt be in the league with the stones of the field, and the beast of the field shall be at peace with thee." God makes a difference. You know, like I said, we can walk through the valley. And we don't have to fear evil. I'm telling you, God has given us everything we need. We may not use it, but we got it, amen. Some people, they're just chronic when it comes to fear. Other people, they just start whispering prayer. "Lord, be with me. Lord, help me." But you know, we've got the Lord on our side, and there's none greater than Him. Verse 24, He says, "And thou shalt know that thy tabernacle shall be in peace, and thou shalt visit thy habitation, and shall not sin." You know, Eliphaz is saying a few good things right here.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 25, he says, "Thou shalt know also that thy seed shall be great, and thine offspring as the grass of the earth. Thou shalt come unto thy grave in a full age, as a shock of corn cometh any season." I commend him on these statements he's saying right here. But we'll go a little further here. Verse 27.
Wait just a minute before you go ahead.
All right.
I believe it was verse 23. What did he mean there when he said we would be in the same league as the stones?
He said, "Thou shalt be in the league with the stones of the field."
Yes.
"And the beast of the field shall be at peace with thee."
Okay.
You know, it's just kind of like harmony.
Right.
You know, the peace of God passes understanding.
All understanding.
And I wasn't in league with nothing until I got saved. Now that I'm saved, I'm in the will of God.
That's right.
Now that I'm saved, I'm in the family of God. Now that I'm saved, I've got the love of God.
Yeah.
Not just to me, but in me, man.
Amen.
I'm in agreement with the creation. I'm not trying to denounce. I'm not going with evolution. I'm not only convinced of creation, but I see it even in the stones in the field where God made all things.
That's
amen.
Right. Absolutely.
It could be something to do with that about shall be in league with the stones of the field. You know, acknowledging the creation of God, that it wasn't a Big Bang Theory. He says, "Thou shalt come to thy grave." We just read that. "Lo, this we have searched it." And that's good. We have searched it. You know, one of the things that's causing most of the problems in America right now is found in Acts chapter 17. And it says there, they searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so.
Yeah.
I believe if we would do that, it would help a lot. And I do want to say this to all of the cults out there, and please don't take this personal, but all the cults out there, listen to this right here in John chapter 5. Search the Scriptures. I'm in John chapter 5 verse 39. "Search the Scriptures," this is Jesus speaking, "for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me."
Mm-hmm.
And I just had a opportunity this week to witness to a Jehovah's Witness, and it's difficult to witness to them because they acknowledge God, but not completely. And I had a very in-depth conversation with this guy, and trying to help him see that the scriptures that he was identifying with actually were talking about Jesus Christ. For instance, I'm sorry, I'm chasing rabbits now.
No, you're not.
I went to Isaiah 45.
Okay, Jehovah's Witness don't believe in the Trinity, brother.
I know it. But I took him to Isaiah 45, verse 22. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all of the ends of the earth.
Yes.
For I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return. And here's where I tried to draw him in, that unto me, this God that is none else, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. And the reason I brought him into that was Philippians chapter 2 tells us who it is that they're going to bow to.
Yes.
And it's Jesus.
Right.
It says in here in Philippians chapter 2 that God has highly exalted Jesus. It says, wherefore God hath highly exalted him, talking about Jesus,
yeah,
and given him a name which is above every name, and it gives a name right here, that at the name of Jesus,
yeah,
every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Yes.
And if that's not enough, look in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. I mean, you can just get as clear as you want it right here. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. It says, there's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, talking about Jesus. And you know, he's close. He's close, but not close enough. You know, close counts when you're pitching horseshoes, but we ain't pitching horseshoes here. We're trying to lay hold on eternal life.
Amen.
And anyway, it's important to search it out. Eliphaz says in verse 27, lo, this we have searched it. So it is. Hear it and know thou it is for thy good. And you know, chastisement is for our good.
That Jehovah's Witness man you talked about there, he's close. He's like that man in the Bible. You almost convinced me to be saved.
Yeah, that's right. That was King Agrippa. He said, almost.
Yeah.
Thou persuadest me to be a Christian.
That's
yeah.
Right.
That's in Acts also.
Yes.
And, you know, people, they get close, and that's as far as they get. They don't go all the way. Paul said, I would to God that you was all together as I am, except these bonds where he was bound. But Paul was more free than they were. That's in Acts chapter 26. And we'll spend a little time here. Might be somebody listening out there not needs this. I don't know.
Right.
But in Acts chapter 26, Paul is given a discourse here. And in this discourse, we'll just start reading verse 24, talking about Paul. As he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doeth make thee mad. But he said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus. You see, respect that Paul's given Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness, for the king knoweth of these things, before whom I also speak freely, for I'm persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. Now Paul puts King Agrippa on the spot right here, and he says, verse 27, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. But King Agrippa says in verse 28, then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian.
Yes.
And Paul answered verse 29 and said, I would to God that not only thou, but all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Paul's bound, but he's freer than they are. But searching it out, that's what we need to do. We need to spend some time
That's right.
in the Word of God. chasing rabbits again. Isaiah 34.
Blessing God.
Isaiah 34:16. Here's God doing the speaking here. Sir. Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. That's what God's advice is to us. And he goes on to say, no one of these shall fail. If you don't want to fail, spend some time in the book. Search it out. Find out the truths that are in here. Hosea said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And I want you to know, everybody doesn't have knowledge. You find somebody that knows their Bible, you find somebody good to spend some time with. Amen. Job chapter.
Sarah wrote on here, take your time, Pastor. what you told the Jehovah's
Witness. Yeah.
She's taking all that in, boy.
Well,
she has to deal with them sometimes on her job.
I rode with this guy in the truck a pretty good ways. He's older than I am.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, he wasn't contentious. He was,
no, they're not.
He was open.
Not.
He just didn't know his Bible to the depth that he needed to know it.
Right.
I was trying to help him
right.
In the area he needed help. I mean, he's just almost there. But, you know, I told him, I said, he said, God's not going to destroy this earth. I said, you need to read a little bit more Bible, buddy.
Yeah, that's right.
And they don't believe that God's going to destroy the earth. And Sarah, I done got a request to go a little further. So in this conversation, I shared this scripture with him in 2 Peter chapter 3 in regards to God going to destroy this earth. First time God destroyed the earth with water,
yes.
And the earth remained. It didn't disappear. But in this, the earth's going to be gone.
Yes, that's right.
And I told him here, the day of the Lord will come, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, as a thief in the night, which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. I mean, it's like combustion. It's being disintegrated. Verse 13, nevertheless we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now we'll take one step further. We'll go to Revelation and see this brought in more detail.
I like that part there you just read where it said that the works will burn.
Yeah.
You know, because they really, really strive on their works, boy.
Now I did quote this verse to him, but I'm reading it just like I quoted it. But I quoted this to him out of Revelation chapter number 20, and it said, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, verse 11, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. They're gone. Earth is gone. Heaven is gone. There's nothing but a great white throne. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in them. Osama bin Laden coming back up. Amen. They buried him at sea. Hey, he's going to come back up. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Let me just say this. That scripture I just read has nothing whatsoever to do with the child of God.
Nothing.
This is, the Bible said, if judgment began at the house of God, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? This is where they're going to appear. I saw the small and great stand before God. That's where the ungodly and the sinner are going to appear. Now you look down here in next chapter, chapter 21. John says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. You know, this new earth's going to be all dry land because sea divides people.
Right.
And we're going to have ability just to go visit whoever, whenever we want. Amen. But we'll get over here, Job chapter 6, we'll go a little further.
Yes.
But Job answered and said, and this is Job talking, Job says, "Oh, that my grief were thoroughly weighed." They just can't understand what Job is enduring. And Job says, "Oh, that my grief were thoroughly weighed and my calamity laid in the balances together." He's going through more than any human other than Jesus Christ has ever endured. Job is in over his head in grief and calamity. He said, "For now it would be heavier than the sand of the sea." Listen, sand's heavy, buddy.
Yeah.
You ever seen a dump truck with a load of sand? I'm telling you, it'll squat it.
Yeah.
He said, "Now would it be heavier than the sand of the sea? Therefore my words are swallowed up. For the arrows of the Almighty are within me, the poison whereof drinketh up my spirit. The terrors of God do set themselves in array against me." Job doesn't understand his dilemma, and he's describing it here the best he can. He says, "Doeth the wild ass bray when he hath grass, or loweth the ox over his fodder? Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt?" Boy, I thank God for salt.
Mm-hmm.
I cooked some eggs this morning, buddy. I put some salt on them. Amen. Mm-hmm. Listen to this. "Or is there any taste in the white of an egg?" There is when you put salt on it.
Right.
I peppered and salted them both. He said, "The things that my soul refused to touch are as my sorrowful meat." Job here, he's suffering as great a suffering as anyone could go through. And he says, "The things that my soul refuses to touch as my sorrowful meat." He's scraping himself with a potsherd.
Yeah.
He's talking about, you know, his bowels just continually roaring. And he's in a pitiful state right here. He said, "Oh, that I might have my request, and that God would grant me the thing that I long for." He wants to die.
Yes.
He wants out. "Even that it would please God to destroy me." You know, there is a point where you just don't want to live no more. And you know, when you come down to the last mile of the way, and I'm 68, I'm not far away from it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you come down the last mile of the way, you're weary, you're tired. You just want to go home. You don't want to fight no more. You don't want to go through no more procedures, no more pills, no more operations or any other kind of things. You just want to say, "Look, I just want to go home." That's kind of like Brother Mark's wife, Kate. She said, "I've had enough." And she said, "I just want to go home." Well, that happens when you get bad enough. Do you get on the threshold of your limit of your pain and your suffering, you'll be just like Job right here.
That's right.
He said that it would please God to destroy me, that He would yet loose His hand and cut me off. Job is wanting to go home. He's wanting God to come get him. He said, "Then should I have yet comfort? Yea, I would harden myself in sorrow. Let him not spare, for I have not concealed the words of the Holy One. What is my strength that I should hope?" He's down, I mean, to nothing. "What is mine end that I should prolong my life? Is my strength as the strength of stones, or is my flesh of brass?" Job's saying, you know, I'm wore out, I'm frail, I'm down to it.
Yeah.
He said, "Is not my help in me, and is wisdom driven quite from me?" You know, when you're suffering, like Job is suffering here, I mean, you're about to lose your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And he says here, "Wisdom is driven quite from me." He's not dwelling like he did. You know, the Bible said if we be risen with Christ in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, "Seek those things which are above, what Christ said at the right hand of the Father." It's hard to do that when you're suffering like Job is right here. And he says, verse 14, "To him that is afflicted, pity should be showed showed from his friend. He's asking for them to have some pity. He's asking them to consider how how much his grief and his calamities are, how much he's suffering. He said, to him that is afflicted, pity should be showed from his friend, but he forsaketh the fear of the Almighty. He said, my brethren have dealt deceitfully as a brook, and as the stream of brooks they pass away, which are blackish by reason of the ice wherein the snow is hid. That is true. If you've ever been in a creek, it's the rocks have turned black by reason of the ice, and it says wherein the snow is hid. He says, what time they wax warm, they vanish, but when it's hot, they are consumed out of their place. The paths of their way are turned aside. They go to nothing and perish. He said, the troops of Temai looked. The companies of Sheba waited for them. They were confused because they had hoped. They came thither and were ashamed. For now ye are nothing. You see my casting down and are afraid. His friends don't know how to help him. And he says, you see my condition and you're afraid. Did I say bring unto me or give a reward for me of your substance? Joel said, I'm not asking for nothing but pity. That's all I'm asking for. Or deliver me from the enemy's hand, or redeem me from the hand of the mighty. Teach me and I'll hold my tongue, and cause me to understand wherein I have erred. How forcible are right words, but what doeth your arguing reproof? Do you imagine to reprove words and the speeches of one that is desperate, which are as wind? Yet ye overwhelm the fatherless, and ye dig a pit for your friend. You know, he's kind of unloading on these guys right here. He says, now therefore be content. Look upon me, for it's evident unto you, for it is evident unto you if I lie. Return, I pray you, and let it not be iniquity. Yea, return again. My righteousness is in it. Is there iniquity in my tongue? Cannot my taste discern perverse things? Job is somewhat appealing to his friends to look upon him and to understand he don't need no more grief. He don't need no more calamity. A soft answer, the Bible said a soft answer turneth away wrath. And we're supposed to have our speech seasoned with grace.
Yeah.
And Job's just asking for some, for some...
have mercy on me.
Yeah, some compassion, some comfort.
Yeah,
just a little encouragement. Here he is in over his head in grief, in trouble, and they're just, nitpicking.
Yeah.
And
they thought that he'd really sinned against God, I think.
We're just like his friends. Lots of time we don't understand.
Yeah. No.
And we need to be careful in this area right here. When you don't understand, you need to proceed with caution. Lots of times, like Job's friend did, best thing you can do is just sit there and be silent and size it up and see. You might not need to say nothing. You might just need to sit there. I've heard it said people are so desperate today they'll pay somebody just to listen to them. Can't get a word in edgewise.
Yeah.
And sometimes people just want to talk, and sometimes we need to just listen. And if you do anything, just say, I'm going to pray with you. And, like I said, Job here, his friends don't understand his situation. Job don't understand his situation. The devil's loving every minute of it. And God's sitting there, and he's never very far from any one of us, but God is right there watching over Job, and God is there helping him through this. Can you imagine going through what Job is going through here and not have God to back you up, not have a hope of things getting better? The Bible talks about hope deferred. I can't remember how that's worded there, but thank God for hope. Amen.
Well, Brother Eddie, if you think about it, Job didn't know what God was going to allow to happen to him.
Yeah, none of this makes any sense to Job or his friends.
No, because God said to or the devil said to God, you take the hedge out from around him, and Job will curse you to your face.
Yeah, Job's being tested.
And Job didn't know this was coming in this form, so it was a surprise to him too, you know.
One thing I did like that Eliphaz said, he said, lo, this, we have searched it.
Yeah.
Lo, we have searched it, so it is, hear it, and know thou it for thy good. He's saying, you know, that they searched this matter out, and Job needs to search this matter out. And even though he's giving him good advice, he might not be giving it to him in the right way. You know, I've been in these situations where you want to help somebody, but it's not as easy to do as it sounds.
Right.
We didn't even sing a song that, Brother Ed. I'm disappointed. I was going to sing one, but I want to make sure I pray for these people that are kind of like Job, going through. Going through suffering, going through troubles.
Yeah.
All of us have troubles, some more than others.
Amen.
And you know, us that don't have troubles to amount to nothing, we need to be careful that we don't look down on people, you know, that are going through sore trials.
Right.
We try to have compassion, try to have you know, some comforting words for them. You know, till I get to heaven, I don't expect streets of gold down here. Till I get to heaven, I don't expect this body to be like it was when it was young. I mean, I'm on the tail end of the life of this body.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody said 68, which I'm 68. It's not the end of the world, but you can see it from there, amen. And there are people older than me, and there are people younger than me, and we just need to all try to help one another till we do get home. Amen.
I'm 10 years older than you, brother.
Yeah.
I can really see.
Yeah, Brother Ed, he can certainly understand the statement I'm talking about seeing it from there. This life that we live, it's but a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. But I do want to try to sing a song tonight, if I can. Number 24. We'll try a new one tonight, Brother Ed. Well, we'll sing a little bit of it anyway. Number 24 says, "Oh, say, but I'm glad."
Oh.
And you know, even down here, things do turn for the worse.
Yeah.
There's a reason to still say I'm glad. We'll start out here, verse 1. There is a song in my heart. That ain't it. There's a song in my heart today. Something I never... Well, I'll sing it here in a minute, Brother Ed.
Go ahead. I don't even know the song. Go ahead.
There is a song in my heart today. Something I never had. Jesus has taken my sins away. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come, my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad. I got that all wrong. But I am glad.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad that God knows me, knows my name, knows my downset, my uprising. And I was going to try to end on a positive note, but we're going to dismiss this service tonight. Thank you for joining us tonight. We hope something said was a comfort to you. And don't forget, search things out. The best thing is not go with science. Go with God.
Yeah.
Pray about it.
Yes.
Ask the Lord for wisdom. Ask the Lord for instruction. He'll lead you and He'll guide you. He'll show you truth. He'll help you. We're a far cry from what we need to be, but we can all be more than what we are right now. Father, we thank You for this service tonight.
Thank You, Lord.
Thank You for those that were listening online. And Lord, we thank You for Brother Ed, faithful Lord, to show up here tonight. Lord, You said we were two or three, and that's all we are is two. But Lord, we feel like You was with us tonight, and Lord, made the difference. Pray, Father, Lord, You bless this church, bless this work, bless Your children, Lord. Help us, I pray, to be a blessing. We love You, we praise You, we thank You for all Your many mercies and all Your great blessings. Oh, Lord, have Your way, I pray. And help, I pray, this country, Lord, that it might do a Nineveh of repentance and return to God. I'd like to see, Lord, our children have a better future. And Lord, I don't believe they're going to have one if this country continues to go down the paths of unrighteousness as it is right now. Lord, our schools are corrupt. Our government is corrupt. Even some of our churches are corrupt. Lord, I'm glad you're still on the throne. I'm glad you're going to straighten these matters out. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Miss Lonnie just came on the air just now.
All right.
Yeah, so that prayer that you said for her right in the beginning helped, didn't it?
Amen. Praise the Lord. We sure did.
Okay, we're going to sign off here.